Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is 8 minutes past 10. Alhamdulillah. A wonderful and beautiful morning. Alhamdulillah. And first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus. And today, inshallah, we're focusing on dua, or supplication, and its significance or its importance. Inshallah, that will be followed by Drug Talk with Sister Nazia Saliji, our outreach program coordinator for the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehab Center here in Indonesia. Also joining us in the studio this morning is Rosemary Vondla, who will be sitting in. Maybe we'll get her to say something as well. And yes, just a reminder to our listeners, if you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free a little later to contact us. We have a very important, very, very important topic we're talking about today. It's something about lean. Now, I'm sure you're going to wonder what in the world that is. Well, it's actually a mixture of cough syrup and Sprite or you know, any fizzy drink. It has grown in popularity in our schools, especially in primary schools. So I think this is something that you need to really listen to. And, you know, if you do have any questions, concerns, please feel free a little later to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. Or you can SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. Okay, so let's get back to our Monday morning focus. Today we're looking at dua, the importance of dua in Islam. Now, I know we're all always making dua, and, you know, this is something we need to live with. You know, it's so important for us to make dua, because dua is not only, you know, asking from Allah for something, but it is also a worship, it's also an ibadat. So, yes, that's what I'm going to be talking about to you today, inshallah. Now, as human beings, we cannot always remain happy, or, you know, happy forever for that matter. We only have our bad times, and, you know, especially when our patience is tested, and we are left so, you know, bewildered and perplexed. When we undergo all these trials and tribulations, this then is the time when we as Muslims seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the Quran in chapter 67, verse 2. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. He is the one that has created life and death in order to test who amongst you is best in conduct. So, you know, all these difficulties sometimes that we go through, these are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but test us to, you know, to see who amongst us are the best in conduct. In good conditions, we are expected to be humble and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in bad situations, it is necessary for us to exercise patience and also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Now, as Muslims, we do believe in the fact that whatever is happening in our life is with the will of Allah. So we believe that, and, you know, it's called, we believe it's our taqdeer. This is happening to us because Allah wants it to happen to us. Good times or bad times, all of this comes from Allah. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran, and once again in chapter 2, verse 155, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he says, "Verily, we will test you with some fear, hunger, and loss of wealth, life, or the fruits of your labor." So there is going to be a reason. Allah will always test us. You know, life can't always be good. So we're going to be tested all along every day of our lives. Well, maybe not every day, but at certain times in our lives, Allah will test us. So there's not one person that can say, you know, I have no problem in the world, I'm happy all the time. Now, they say the strongest weapon that every Muslim has against any adversity is dua. That's our weapon. You know, if you can do absolutely nothing about a situation, all you need to do is lift your hands and we ask Allah directly. We don't even have to go through anything or anyone for that matter. We just lift our hands and ask Allah for whatever we need in this world, inshallah. And when we feel hopeless and feel that the world has shut all doors of happiness for you, we know that there is always a greater source, a greater being waiting for your call and who is always willing to help you. Who is that? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we look at the current situation in most of our Muslim countries today, you know, look at all these Muslim countries of ours. They are going through so much of hardship and suffering, and they are constantly under attack by the enemies. And what is keeping them going? Well, the only thing keeping them going is their firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their belief that Allah will accept their du'as one day, inshallah. Maybe not now, but it will be accepted. Also, you know, something that comes to mind is sometimes, you know, when we ask for something from Allah, we expect, Allah to give it to us immediately. But sometimes Allah don't give it to you immediately. He doesn't give it to you. He would give it to, you know, in a different way, but He will accept your dua, but in a different way. Maybe your children will benefit from it. Maybe, somebody else along the line, maybe after a few years, maybe after a few days, it will be accepted. It will not be accepted immediately. So we should never be despondent and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not accepted our dua. Okay, and it is also mentioned in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came across a community that was actually going through a lot of hardship. And his advice to that people was to make dua. To make dua to Allah for assistance. So whenever you go, so it's important for us to remember this. So no matter what difficulty you're going through, remember that you need to ask Allah to assist you, to sit down, make dua, and ask Allah to help you and guide you. Then in another hadith, it is mentioned that dua has the ability to alter destiny. Yes, certainly. You know, sometimes it may have been written out in your taqdeer that this will happen to you. But Allah, you know, if you make dua, it can even change that destiny of yours. So remember that as well. For example, just a simple example, and I'm sure most of you are aware of this, when the future of Islam went under jeopardy at the time of the Battle of Badr, when they only had 313 ill-equipped Muslims, you know, that was the army of the Muslims, 313 ill-equipped Muslims, they had to face an army of 1,000 well-armed enemies. Our beloved Prophet ﷺ did not put down his swords. He did not give up. He did not, turn around and say, you know what, we're not going to manage this. Let's rather wait for another time. What he did do, he spent the entire night before the battle, that was the Battle of Badr, the entire night before that in dua and in salah and in prayers. And he sought Allah's guidance and assistance. You know, the whole night he stayed awake and he made dua and he kept on reading salah and making dua. So on the day of the battle, Allah granted them the greatest victory. And I think this is known as one of the greatest victories ever for the Muslims. So Allah helped them. And how did He help them? Just by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, this is the power of dua. If it is made sincerely, if it is made wholeheartedly and with trust and belief in Allah, it is the weapon of a believer. And this also has been mentioned in a hadith. Dua is the best form of worship. And we must believe that everything good, bad, favorable or unfavorable, happiness or sadness, sickness or health, all of this lies in the hands of Allah alone. and Allah makes things happen. He decides whom to bless and whom to test, and only He can help. So always remember, Allah does not need us. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should always make dua with a firm faith that his or her dua will be answered, inshallah. And it will be answered. Like I said earlier, you know, it may just not be now, immediately, but those dua, and Allah knows best why He wouldn't sometimes, you know, accept your dua immediately. But it will be answered. Your du'as will be answered in maybe another way or the other. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in chapter 40, verse 60, call upon me and I will respond to you. So, as Muslims, we should never give up because we have that ultimate weapon to counter our fears, our depression, our oppression, you know, all these adversities that we go through, all the sufferings and hardships in the shape of dua. Remember, our greatest weapon is dua. So don't despair. Always remember that Allah is there. Well, I hope this little bit of information that I shared with you will be of benefit to you. So remember, always make dua, because dua is a weapon of a believer. And, you know, no matter what, and if you believe that Allah will answer your du'as, then it certainly will be answered. Maybe just not immediately, but there's always a way and method and a time that your du'a will be answered, inshallah. Okay, so when we return, inshallah, we're going to be speaking to Sister Nazia Saleji, the Outreach Program Coordinator for the Nishtara Alcohol Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. It's Drug Talk, our monthly program. Today we're talking about something called lean. So we'll tell you more about that a little later in the program. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me in the studio is Sister Nazia Saleji, the Outreach Program Coordinator for Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. And also sitting in today for the program is Rosemary Vandla. And we hope to maybe get her to say something, but she's just coming here to observe. Anyway, you know, it seems like new drugs hit the streets nearly every day, and teens and adults alike abuse them. Now, because of the growing number of drugs, it's hard for people to actually keep up with them. And one drug that has grown in popularity as of late is the lean drug. So when I heard about the lean drug, I was wondering, what in the world is this? Yes, I'm sure you too are wondering, but don't worry, don't despair. We have Sister Nazia here with us in the studio, and she's going to clarify all of that today. You know, tell us what it is, and does it pose any long-term danger? Assalamu alaikum, Nazia. Jazakallah khair for joining us this morning once again.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zeenat, and assalamu alaikum to the Radio Islam listeners. It's a pleasure to be in your space again.
I love all the things you come up with, but it's the most scariest things that you always come up here and talk about. But, you know, it's important for our listeners to know about this so that we can, you know, they say to be warned is better than not to know about it. So hopefully our listeners out there would know about this, you know, find out more about it on their own if they have to. We'll certainly tell you what it's all about or what it is for that matter. And, you know, be on the alert, be aware of all of this. So, Sister Nazia, lean, what is that?
Sister Zeenat, I first of all have to acknowledge the fact that I scare you and the listeners.
And I think you love doing that to me.
I certainly do believe that education and knowledge is power. So the more you know, the better prepared you can be, the more aware you are of the situation and better equipped to deal with it. Because the chances are, like yourself, we were very shocked to learn of this trend as well, and more so that it emerged amongst the primary school learners, not so much the high school learners. And then the trend changed to the high school learners, you know, who were actually role modeling for the primary school learners. So without further ado, lean. When you think of the word lean, it's like when I'm walking and I've got to lean on something. I cannot walk straight. This is one of the side effects of the drug called lean. Lean is actually a mixture of any codeine-containing cough medication and mixed with a soda drink like Sprite or Mountain Dew, and they also add paracetamol tablets to the mix. The ratio that they would use is one bottle of cough syrup and into a 2-liter, you know, Sprite, and they would share it amongst themselves.
So where do they get all this information from? I mean, they come up with the most, you know, things that you never ever think of.
Sister Zenith, if I can put it this way to our listeners, that information, we are in living in an age where we can no longer ask where do they get the information, because Google is such a powerful tool that they use, you know. International trends, hip-hop artists, music, we can't run or hide from the fact that our children are heavily influenced by the media. And the kind of music that they listen to and the rap artists that they look up to actually flaunt the fact that they are using substances like lean. For example, the rapper called Lil Wayne, children will definitely know of him. He was actually hospitalized after using lean. He's a very popular advocate for it. And he was hospitalized because he got seizures or fits after using it. So where they would get it is they would be influenced. They would see this trending internationally and think, hey, that's accessible. I can get my hands on a cough syrup. I can get my hands easily on a, you know, on a 2-liter cold drink or whatever. And I can mix the substance and I can, you know, sell it to my friends. Or we could just use it all together if we all put money in. The reason why or what motivated the topic of lean is because we were called to a primary school locally where 39 learners actually had indulged in using lean. They were grade 6 learners at one of our local primary schools. And the parents were just as shocked as you and I were to learn that, you know, this is your, what, 11 to 12 age group? And it was 39 of them who had done lean. So it is very popular, and it doesn't need any marketing because peer pressure is there. So to parents, we would say educate yourself, and that's what the show is all about.
So lean, how does it affect the user?
So what would happen is they would take it and they would experience a sense of euphoria where they start to feel lightheaded, and it gives them a similar feeling to like being drunk. So you would obviously be able to see when they start having slurred speech, they would experience blurry vision. A state of euphoria is like a lightheadedness, a happiness, which is also escapism for them. Some of them might fall asleep, so it also has a sedative effect on some. And you would see the way they walk, you know, they would walk all funny, just as an alcoholic person does. They would also be tired in the form of lethargy, and they'd be drowsiness. They would exhibit symptoms of drowsiness. So you would be able to see that, you know what, this is how they're feeling, and these are the symptoms that you can watch out for, basically.
You know, seizures are actually becoming very common these days. You hear more children having seizures, and I think this is something that one needs to actually, you know, go and check out. You know, why is your child suddenly get, especially when a child is absolutely normal, there's nothing wrong with the child.
Absolutely. And the other thing to note, especially about lean, is that your child is so clever and so manipulative, they might say to you, I need to lay down. And then you wouldn't be able to see the symptoms or the signs, simply because they know that my mom's going to pick up on this. It's very important for parents to keep track of the amount of codeine-containing medication you keep at home. Strictly monitor how much you have and how much is deteriorating. Like if you monitor a bottle, you know, go and see how much is still there, or, you know, alternatively just lock it away.
Okay, so I know you mentioned some of the signs and symptoms, but maybe just go through that again. I think it's so important for us as parents to know about this so that we can keep a check on our children. And it's become so sad that you need to actually check on your children all the time, not only children. I mean, this is the program is about the children doing it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, even adults use this. So please tell us more about the signs and symptoms of of a person who has used lean.
So you could look out for signs like vomiting, weakness. They would complain of having a headache. Some of them would even exhibit itching. So they would be itchy. A dry mouth. Some would exhibit signs of chest pain. Some would faint. Hallucinations, seizures, and tremors. So you would see them shaking a lot. As we know that codeine is one of the most easily accessible, addictive types of medication there are. So there are stricter control measures in place from the pharmacist's point of view, but it's still accessible. So maybe they would get an older person to buy for them, you know, the cough mixture or that, and then they would start using it. I think it's very important for parents to know these signs and symptoms so that the moment you see your child experiencing tremors or sleeping too much, you know, or they've got a dry mouth and a headache and you can see that this child is vomiting, for example, that you act immediately. Because I used to say, you know, don't let this information make you paranoid. But after hearing that grade 6 learners were indulging in this, it prompted us to say you would rather tread on the side of caution.
Yes, I think it is so important. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we just think that our children are not feeling well. And I mean, all of this, you know, and we do take them to the doctor, but I don't think we will even think of, I wouldn't certainly have not thought that, you know, this could have been the reason why our children are not feeling well and they're having all these symptoms.
Absolutely, Sister Zenith. Let's not forget also the fact that they do share a lot of things at school. So, you know, their friend would say to them, obviously they trust their friend, would say to them, try out this juice, or, you know, I brought this new juice. Mm. And the child could have been a victim as well, because what has happened is children at school, you know, you don't always know what they're going to be sharing. And they could be an unsuspecting victim. When we attended the incident at the school, we also found that children had been using it as a substitute for alcohol. Because it is the same as drinking, the signs and symptoms, you know, the effect is the same as someone who has taken alcohol, they actually use it as a substitute for alcohol. And it had been in juice bottles. So the teachers could not make out, you know, exactly what the substance was. Mm-hmm. Until one of the learners stepped forward and explained to us that this is exactly how we do it and this is what it is.
So, yes, I think, and like you said, you know, sometimes even the innocent get involved, but, you know, not knowingly, obviously. So we need to be very careful about this and be alert, parents. I think that's the only message we have for you today. Be aware. Don't be scared of all of this, but be aware that this is happening in our schools and we need to take the necessary precautions. We're going to take a short break now. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, please feel free to contact us. Maybe you would like to, you know, just tell us something. Maybe you know about it. Please let us know. You know, it's important for us as parents to you know, come up and talk about these things. It's so important. So if you have questions maybe or concerns maybe, the number to dial is 011-854-1548. And you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to the program Socially Speaking. It's Drug Talk today, and we have Sister Nazia Saleti with us. She's the Outreach Program Coordinator for the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Lanesia. Also sitting in today is Rosemary Wundla. And our topic of the day, a very interesting one, is lean drug. This is actually a mixture of cough syrup and Sprite, and it has grown in popularity in our schools, especially primary schools. And I think that is the main concern, you know. Our children are so young and they are actually on these drugs already, and such easy things to make. Anyway, so Nazia, you know, what precautions should parents take when it comes to, especially cough syrup? And, you know, we've been having, we had this very bad season now where people were so sick with the flu and the cough. And I'm sure every home has got enough of cough syrup in their medicine chests or medicine cupboards. So, you know, what precautions should parents actually take with regards to cough syrup then?
I would encourage that parents, firstly, when it comes to storage of medication and monitoring of the amount of medication you have, especially your scheduled medication and codeine-containing medication, do not let a child take medication unsupervised. So you'll give the child perhaps 2 teaspoons, and then, you know, for lunch you'll say, you know how much to take, don't take more than that. I would advise that parents do not allow children to take medication unsupervised. Keep medication in a locked cabinet so that you know when the child wants the medication. Also, when it comes to cough syrups, the doctor will prescribe the necessary medication, but should it come to codeine-containing medication and it's a choice, please be very, very careful. The reason why is because we are teaching children, we're teaching them a behavior. So, for example, if you have a little child and you say, you know what, can you go to the medicine cabinet? I've got a headache. Fetch me 2 of those yellow tablets. The child will go and fetch you the 2 yellow tablets. Tomorrow, when the child has a headache, he bumps his head, he doesn't even understand what a headache means. He's like, oh, it's sore, let me just go and fetch those tablets because that's what Ma did or that's what Dad does. You know, we are teaching the children a behavior. Whereas there are also things you can rub on your temples. There are things, alternative, you know, things that you can do instead of natural homeopathic stuff that you don't have to introduce the child towards, I could use the term, leaning on medication. So we're also teaching them a behavior. When it comes to medication, don't self-medicate. Go to the doctor. You know, especially with children, you don't want to be rubbing things on their gums that is, prescribed for an adult, for example. You are introducing them to the feeling, the effect that the medication has. So you think you're doing the child, you know, it's going to alleviate the pain. But tomorrow when you are not there, because of the effect the medication had on the child, the feeling, the first introduction to a little bit of a high, they're going to go looking for this medication and they will be taking it. And the thing about medication is it is prescribed, the dosage is prescribed according to the person's age, height, weight, and time of life. But the child does not understand this, which puts them at a greater risk of overdosing. Also, there's a time period in between you are supposed to be taking medication. Like, certain medications you've got to take before meals. Mm-hmm. Certain you can only take after meals. And there can be a 4-hour interval in between taking medication. Now the child takes it at 8 o'clock. By about 8:30, the child coughs twice and says, you know what, the cough is still here. And then they run to take more medication, thus resulting in an overdose. Especially when it comes to codeine. Be very, very careful about how you teach children how to use these tablets and cough syrups. And decide, is it the only way to go?
Mm-hmm. I think just another thing that I'd also like to mention is, and, you know, we've noticed it, I personally have noticed it, where people just drink medication from the bottle. You know, either they throw it into the cap or just take a sip of it. Well, that can also, because you're not taking the prescribed amount. You're taking maybe more than what you have to take. So that could also be something that parents should be aware of. And I think very important, like you mentioned, is, you know, as parents, you give the medication if you have to, but don't allow your kids to take medication on their own. And like you said, also I think it's so important, don't send your children to get your medicine for you. I know as parents sometimes, you know, we'll say, oh, it's going to get me, like you said, a Panado or something for me, but that is not the way to go. We need to be very, very careful about it. You know, I know you talked about the how common it is, and but how common is the abuse of lean? Has it really hit our schools? You know, isn't it just something that's happening overseas somewhere, or is it actually happening here too, or is it happening because they know of people doing it overseas, or is it just they know what to do here?
So, Sister Zenith, you know that our young people are very influenced by our international trends and our hip-hop artists and the music, and their lifestyles influence our young people. I would say in our locality, lean among students has hit an all-time high. We have had, apart from the cases in the primary schools, we have had high school calls from high schools, you know, concerned educators phoning and asking us, what are these, what is lean, basically? Because it's something that we know the street names for all the other drugs, but it's something that you drink. And this has been prominent in all of our schools. Our facilitators as well, who go out, Rosemary coordinates our prevention and awareness campaigns, mm-hmm. where our facilitators go out and they facilitate discussions in the schools on the prevention and awareness of drugs. And they have come back with a number of questions on lean. And when we explored it, because we also thought it's an international trend, our learners in our schools are using this because it is easily accessible. They do not need to, you know, do anything illegal for them to have this, and it's easy to also mask because it doesn't have a smell. Remember that if it's mixed with a soft drink, there's no smell. It doesn't smell like alcohol, but it's giving you the feeling of being drunk. So our schools, definitely, it is prominent, it is popular, and parents need to be alert and aware.
Okay, how soon can a child get addicted to lean?
So it depends on the tolerance of the child, you know, and the dependence that they start to get or have on codeine. Remember that these children do not know the measurements. They do not know how much of codeine it's going to take. Each person has a different threshold. So while one can drink, you know, it's the same as drugs. One can smoke a joint and they can be fine and not want it again. And the other one, you know, can immediately become addicted or dependent on it. And I would say that because of the codeine content, it does become highly addictive.
Mm-hmm. And can one overdose on it?
Absolutely. Because of the use of codeine, again, overdose. What if one child says, I don't want one glass, I'm going to have two?
So and it's a cold drink. It's a drink.
It's a drink. Mm. It's mixed with the soft drink. So one child could say, I don't want one. I'd like to have two glasses. And increasing the codeine content in their bloodstream. And that is exactly how they would get high.
Okay. I don't know if we can get you on. Would you like to say something just about? Okay, so what exactly does Rosemary do at schools, and you know what kind of work? You mentioned it a little, so maybe you can just elaborate a little on that.
Okay, so Sangha Nishtara, we've got two offices, one in Lanesha, one in Orange Farm. In both of our offices, we run prevention and awareness campaigns. So we have a team of 25 facilitators or volunteers who come into our organization, and we train them in partnership with the Department of Social Development and the Department of Education. We train them to go into schools and address the different topics that are related to substance abuse. Now, we cannot just go into the schools and talk about drugs because there's a fine line between prevention and education. So we've got a holistic program called Kimoja. It's a life skills course that we do with learners. And a lot of the learners in Lanesha have been through our programs because we conduct it in schools all across Lanesha, Lanesha South, Orange Farm, Ennerdale, Lawley, Vlakfontein. Basically, the topics that we cover, self-esteem, goal setting, the consequences of using drugs, the different types of drugs, the value of education. We also do alternative lifestyles like sports. We do boot camp. We do nutrition. So we teach them the importance of eating healthy. We have separate modules which are dedicated to tobacco because of the increase in the usage of the hookah pipe and the vaping and e-cigarettes. We also do, a whole lot of innovative fetal alcohol syndrome and Nyaupe, for example. There are modules that we do. And at the end of our course, the children get a certificate to state that they have been through the program. So I know that a lot of parents will say, I wish I could take my child out of the school. I wish I could take them out of this community and protect them from, this. Well, what we do is we concentrate on insulation rather than isolation. So we insulate the child with the necessary knowledge and the life skills and, tell them if you have a goal, basically, you will never be distracted by drugs. So that is just some of the work that we do in schools. It's very intense. And then we've got our teenage development program. I must say that in our high schools, the amount of referrals that we get of learners by grade 10 who are fully fledged, addicted. They are drug users by that time. We actually intervene from grade 6.
Okay. And have you seen a difference, since the time you have started with this program of yours?
Positively, yes. Mm-hmm. We have had students. One of our core values that we start off with is saying that you are important, you are special, you have a unique gift to give the world, and we focus on self-esteem. And some children have come up to us and said, I have never been told that I am special, and this is the first time. If you give an individual the chance, to highlight their gifts to you, it unlocks a lot of potential in them, something that they never thought they had or something that they can't see. So in terms of difference, I would say that it's made a huge difference because we intervene at grade 6. By the time they get to grade 8, they're like, no, the Kimoja program was here. We learned about the effects of Dacha. We learned about the consequences of using Dacha. So if, someone comes up to me with Dacha, I know exactly what's going to happen if I start using it. So we say even if you make a difference in the life of 1 out of 10, then we would have done our job for the day.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very important to be armed with knowledge. I think it makes a huge difference if you know than when you don't know.
Absolutely, Sister Zenit. And remember that the ruling was passed, the controversial ruling was passed recently regarding Dacha. So we had a whole host of students who came up to us and said, now Dacha is legal and, we are able to do it openly. And that is something that we as Sanka are now currently busy addressing because, children under the age of 18, it is still illegal for you to use. But we have got a whole host of children who are absolutely the biggest fans, and they are rooting for the ruling saying, then it's pointless us doing programs because if it's legal, it means it's safe, which is not the case. Mm-hmm. They can still be arrested. They have to have, a certain amount basically for private use. If you have anything over that amount, you will still be arrested for its use. So we are trying very hard to educate our youth to say that if you use any kind of mind-altering substance from the age of 13, your developmental, years, you are going to hamper your development for your future. You cannot be using it because your brain is still not fully developed. And it has posed a huge challenge for us thus far.
Mm. So, what is it about this new thing? How will it affect people, since now Dacha is kind of made legal?
I think that we are still going to see the effects, of this ruling. I think that in terms of treatment, people are still addicted. I think what I go about saying to people who come to us is just because this has been made legal does not change the psychological effects that it is going to have on you. It does not change the fact that it is still addictive, and it does not change the fact that you will need treatment should you become dependent on it. So at the moment, we are are sort of in a difficult situation when it comes to facing the learners at school, because it doesn't help our argument to say it's dangerous, because now they have a comeback to us that it's legal.
So in what capacity is it made legal for to use?
So as far as we understand, it is legal for private use in your private space and also in certain quantities. It can also be used medicinally. But in terms of the youth and your under 18s, we still maintain it's a no-go.
Well, I hope, you know, our listeners are aware of that. And, you know, I know, like you said, so many of them are actually ecstatic because now it's made legal. But anyway, what message, just before we end our program, do you have for all listeners out there?
To our listeners, Sister Zenith, we have been doing the show for an amazing 2 years now, I think it is.
It's amazing how you come up with new things all the time. I don't think we've ever really repeated much of the program.
Because this field is constantly innovating and there is so much that's coming about. The message to everyone is that knowledge is power. And one thing that we aim to do, yes, we come out here, we give you the information, we do scare you because it is scary, but knowledge is power. Also, you have the potential, you know, you are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice or of your decision. I say to everyone, if you're hearing the show and you feel that, this isn't for me, no one in my family is using, it is not that you, it's for you. You have got to take this information to somebody who does need it and ultimately leave someone in a better space than you found them.
Definitely. Anyway, you know, if people would like, you know, more information with regards anything, drugs, alcohol, who can they contact or where?
Okay, so Sankha Nishtara is the Drug and Alcohol Rehab Center in Lanesia. Our contact number is 011-854-5988 or 852-2176. You can also email us on info@sankhanishtara.co.za.
Okay. So these numbers are available downstairs at reception. So if you would like them, please feel free to contact us. And yes, our message to our listeners is please, you know, be aware, be educated, and, you know, just make sure, try to prevent all of this happening to our community. It's happening so often and there's so many people that are hurt by this, and I think it's important that we know about it. Well, thank you so much for coming in to share this program, talk to us again about these things. You know, we need to know about it, and thank you for coming out, you know, taking a special time off to come and lead these programs with us. Thank you, Rosemary. I hope you enjoyed it. Hello. And we hope to have you with us again. Maybe come in and do a program with us. Thank you. Jazakallah khair, Nazma.
Barakallah.
Well, listeners, that's all we have for you today, but inshallah, we will be back next month again. We've still got 1 month before the end of the year. We're almost at the end of the year again. But we certainly will do another program with our listeners, with our guests, and of course, for our listeners. Well, jazakallah khair. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.